I'm a yoga teacher, so I really know how to bond with white women. I'm like a whisperer of white women.
Welcome, everybody, to Barefaced Stories.
When my flatmate came home and asked me if I wanted to join her as a phone sex worker, I barely bat an eyelid.
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked the attention. I kind of liked the intimacy.
Hey there. It's Andrew Gibbs, your host at Barefaced Stories, where it's all about getting real one story at a time. And today we're spotlighting Georgina Beyer, a legend from New Zealand. And trust me, her story's something special.
The human spirit is an amazing thing because something in me, instead of taking me down, down, down to the depths, I got angry. I wanted to know why I couldn't get justice for something like that. Why should anybody ever have to suffer something like that without some recourse?
Georgina left us just over a year ago, passing at age 65. History books will remember her as the first trans member of parliament in the world, a fierce advocate for sex workers, the LGBTQI plus rights community and the Māori communities. She made civil unions a thing in New Zealand. Yeah, she was that cool. In 2018, she dropped by Barefaced Stories during the New Zealand International Arts Festival in Wellington to share a part of her life story, an epic saga of battles, fought and won. Before that, just a quick side note, our next event is March 28th. The theme of the night is celebrity and stardom. Grab your tickets. Don't miss out on our $10 G&Ts courtesy of Old Young's Gin Distillery, our sponsor, and our good mates out at the Swan Valley. All right, enough from me. Let's dive into Georgina Beyer's world. This is her story, as raw and as real as it gets. And just a warning here, it does touch on sexual violence.
Courage, resilience, very relevant words for many of us. From adversity can come triumph. And I'm going to take you back to about 1979. I had been working in a strip club, the Purple Onion, some of you may recall it. You went there, didn't you? And I was on the game. But the Purple Onion changed ownership that year, and a friend of mine and I, Dana DePaul, decided to take the opportunity to make a bid to escape from the sex industry that we'd both been working in for about 4 years. I was very young. I had transitioned, or began my transition as a transsexual in 1975, 76. I was 16 going on 17, and because of a rather cruel and uncaring society towards people like us at that time, the only way we could work really was in that scene at the time, because our institutional discrimination and prejudice that did exist, it was not something I had an ambition to ever do, but felt forced into that industry in order to survive. There were some upsides to it, but there were far more downsides. So in 79, this opportunity to head off to Sydney, Australia, make a fresh start, start somewhere new where you weren't really known, and give it a go. Unfortunately for me, after having been there for about a month or two, I still hadn't gained employment. My friend Dana had, in a bar up in King's Cross. And then I eventually did get a job in a cafe above her bar on Darlinghurst Road. And it was the first legitimate, properly paid job I ever had. That I had to find that in Australia sort of bamboozled me a little. But however, before I got that employment, I visited Les Girls nightclub, famous drag cabaret headed up by a fabulous lady called Carlotta. And I would go and frequent there for a while because I felt comfortable in the environment of other queens. And it was a lovely club. It was fantastic, and their shows were just brilliant. Many New Zealanders visited there. There used to be a bus trip around Sydney by night, they called it, where you went and had dinner and show, amongst other visits, at Les Girls. On this particular occasion, I met a couple of Kiwi guys who were in there that night, and they were with a couple of their mates, Australian guys. And we got talking, had fun, had a few drinks, and then they offered me a joint. Wow, DAC, Australia, I wouldn't mind trying it. Because in the sex industry, drugs is all part and parcel, usually most of the time, so I had been introduced. It wasn't like it was the first time. So off I went with them. We went outside, of course. We went to light up just round the back in some alleyway somewhere. And then the police, who were doing patrols around these blokes, thought, oh, actually, we'll just go and get into our car. Long story short, they sort of abducted me, and I endured a rather brutal rape. And it was, well, it was crushing, I can tell you that much. And I was pretty injured, and I felt worthless, and I was being treated like the shit on the bottom of your shoe. And it really did me in as far as my psychological well-being was concerned. And I didn't go to the police, and I didn't seek any help, because what was a worthless Maori tranny from New Zealand, how was she going to get justice? This is how I thought at that time, because we were scum of the earth, really. So I recovered from it physically. Mentally, I guess we'd call it post-traumatic stress disorder these days. But it stunted my time in Australia. And after about 9 months, I returned back here to Wellington. And I was quite defeated and went suicidal, had a few attempts. Thank God it never succeeded. But then something, the human spirit is an amazing thing, because something in me, instead of taking me down, down, down to the depths, I got angry. I wanted to know why I couldn't get justice for something like that. Why should anybody ever have to suffer something like that without some recourse? So what am I going to do? How am I going to improve my life? How am I going to head forward in this actually quite awful society at that time, who didn't treat us at all well, didn't give us equality in any way, didn't take us seriously for being who I needed to be, what I had to be, so compelled from childhood to be the woman rather than the man I was born. And since I couldn't get the doll because they wanted me to be the man I was supposed to be, and I had drawn a line in the sand and said, actually, no, I'm not going to change who I am for anybody. And if I have to suffer at your hands because you're not going to give me the doll to help me over this hump in my life, then I guess I'll just find other means and ways of doing it. And so I began to dabble in the entertainment industry. I got a few breaks, did some television stuff, worked in close to home, did a series called Inside Straight, and I felt good about that. Of course, I was typecast. I either had to be a lady of the night or a tranny or both. I could do that, and I did it well. One of the few that could. My esteem lifted a little. I saw some future, and it really made me feel good. I kept pursuing it. In 1984, I moved to Auckland. And there I began working in a fabulous drag show at a very well-known Auckland gay nightclub called Alfie's. I stayed there until 1989, working as my bread and butter money. We only did Friday and Saturday nights, half hour each show. It was sweet money in those days, $300, the best money I'd ever been paid in my life. But then there was an opportunity to audition for a short film that was being cast. I met with the director, Peter Wells, and his co-director, Stuart Main, and they were making a short half-hour film in a series called About Face for Television New Zealand. It was to showcase new directors, new writers, new actors, new stories. And one of these stories was this short film called Jules Dahl. A simple story, really, about a day in the life of a transsexual and a transvestite who had a platonic relationship. Just followed them over a day. No sex, nothing lewd, nothing salacious or anything like that. And it was the first time in New Zealand drama, I think, that we got an aspect of trans life that wasn't caricature. And it beamed into the nation. And that was a step forward for us, that you, the general public, would see a more real side of our lives. It was fantastic. It ended up getting 5 nominations in the 1987 Film and Television Awards, and one of them was for me, for Best Actress. I was a finalist to be Best Actress in those Film and Television Awards. I didn't win. A wonderful actress who you may know by the name of Jennifer Ward Leyland won it for another short film in the same series that we were both in, and congratulations to her, that was fabulous. No, my triumph there was that my peers in that industry at that time had chosen to acknowledge me in the gender to which I identified, and that was a huge move forward for me. I'll skip forward now to 1990. I'd left Auckland. I suddenly found myself in the province of Wairarapa, in a small rural town called Carterton, and I started working in a community centre there. And I became more aware of stuff behind or beyond my small-mindedness about the world I had lived in for a while, and began to take interest in community affairs. Ruth Richardson's 91 budget, mother of all budgets, sliced about 25% off beneficiaries or benefits. We as a community centre had to rally to help those who emerged hurt by that particular budget. In a small town like Carterton, we had homelessness. I battled with a local council. Then I became a councillor on that council. And then I became its mayor in 95. Amazing that a small rural redneck area like the Wairarapa could do that and give me the privilege of being their representative. And I have to tell you, it says more about those people who knew all about my colourful past. I was a good mayor, a popular mayor. I became nationally known, internationally known, as the first out transsexual in the world to ever have been elected a mayor. And then 1999, we had an election. I'd been approached by the New Zealand Labour Party to run as a candidate, turned them down 3 times. It came in the form of a wonderful New Zealand icon, a woman called Sonia Davies. Anyhow, I capitulated in the end. I thought running in the election would be a good platform by which to air some of our local issues. But I didn't think it's a hardcore right-wing National Party seat. The incumbent was the Right Honourable Wyatt Creech, who stood down from the seat at that time to finish his last term on the list. No, my contender, the National Party candidate, was a man you may be familiar with by the name of Paul Henry. To cut it short, because my time is really up, I kicked his ass. And my community and my country afforded me the privilege of being their representative. On election night, after all the hullabaloo and the melee of the media and the success and everything like that, I went home by myself and sat there to drink in what had just happened, what did it mean, and what the hell do I do now? And that moment of peace and solace that I had to try and bring all of that together just made me think, 20 years earlier, I'd been a slapper on Vivian Street, a person who was socially disapproved of. And now, 20 years later, I was a member in the New Zealand Parliament. Thank you, New Zealand.
That was Georgina Beyer live at Bareface Stories. She told that story when we were at the New Zealand International Arts Festival, and losing her last year was pretty hard, but I'm glad that we captured a little piece of her. She was the world's first openly trans mayor and totally took the political stage by storm, an absolute force of nature. We're sending heaps of love to her loved ones across the ditch on the anniversary of her passing. Georgina, you were a true icon. Rest in power. Big thanks to Odette Mercy and her Soul Atomics for our tunes, Leah Selwood for keeping us social, Lewis Martin for capturing those moments that words just can't. You can check out some of his videos on our YouTube channel. I'm Andrew Gibbs. I'll catch you next Tuesday with another story to strip back the layers. Until then, keep it real, naked, bold, unashamed. Ain't nothing you can do. She just don't love you.